We're drinking town with a football problem.
ABC. Hey everybody, thanks for joining the Piffles Podcast. Alex here.
Steve.
I'm Amy.
And we're going to talk about the Grey Cup, and most importantly, ABC. That's the theme of the show. Anybody but Calgary, or Calgary, since we're not from Calgary, I guess we can say Calgary, because that's how it's spelt. just to piss them off just a little bit. Thanks for joining us. Follow us on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
And follow me, at Safamod.
And I am at CFL Honeyball.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, search PifflesPod. And check out PifflesPodcast.com for lots more. Coming up on this week's show, be a pretty short show, but it'll be a lot of fun because we're going to recap that Grey Cup, Toronto beating Calgary 27-24 in what turned out to be, I guess Commissioner Ambrosi said it, the next one in the long line of classic Grey Cups. Turned out to be a pretty entertaining game, especially in the fourth quarter.
I liked it.
We'll talk about our trip to Ottawa since we were there for Grey Cup. Hashtag Piffles does Grey Cup. Our Hottie Bowl. I'll have a rant this week, and that'll be about it. So let's jump right into it. Let's start off with Grey Cup week itself. Now, for people and listeners that haven't gone to a Grey Cup, I guess, you know, outside of the game itself, or maybe just, you know, the Saturday and Sunday festivities.
You're missing out.
The game itself is almost secondary. Because yeah. The week is just phenomenal. Basically, picture the most devout CFL fans from across the country all congregating in one place to show their love for the game, for their team, and just for the CFL and the country. It's just everybody's there to have a good time, whether your team's in it or not. And I can honestly say you don't see one person not having fun.
You know what? This was actually my first Grey Cup that the Riders weren't involved in. And I got to say, it was almost more fun when your team's not involved.
How many times have we said that?
Because there's no stress. There's no worry. It's just go mm-hmm. out, have a good time, talk to everybody, meet everybody, mm-hmm. you know, have a drink or 30, and just enjoy it. You just soak it in. You're not stressed about Sunday. It was great.
We started out on Wednesday, a nice get-together put out by Lord L, one of the good Red Blacks fans out in Ottawa. Set us up in a bar, and the whole place was absolutely jam-packed, and lots of good times there. There was fans from every single team there.
What a great welcome to the week. We walked in, and it was just, the moment you walk in, you're just punched in the face with happiness from the CFL. Like, it was just every direct. It was great.
And then Spirit of Edmonton on Thursday as well. We did the Our Nation party for a little bit. It kind of really didn't go anywhere on Thursday. A lot of people cleared
out
of that.
Can we go there on Wednesday too?
I think so. Yeah, but there was like nobody there.
I feel like we did something else on Wednesday.
Yeah, we went down to Lansdowne Park because they had stuff in two different areas of the city, some downtown and then some at Lansdowne Park.
Oh, we went credential hopping, that's why. Grabbing our passes and...
No, after we went to the bar.
No, after the bar we went to...
Because Andrea Ubered us home.
Oh, right. Remember? Yeah, we went to the Joey's. We were going to go to Our Nation, but they were full.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't they full?
No, there was nobody left in there.
Oh, it was empty.
Yeah.
Right, it was the exact opposite of full.
Yeah.
Right. But, and I had two pieces of garlic toast.
And then Andrea disappeared for...
Half an hour.
Yeah.
She seems to be that kind of a person who just... Andrea, one of the good Red Blacks fans as well, too, really... It was nice to finally meet her in person. She's a blast on Twitter. And if you follow her on Twitter, she's exactly like she is in Twitter, or on Twitter, in person. She's a big ball of energy. That's...
I feel like this is the moment you have to tell people how you guys ran into her.
Okay, sure. So, of course, what are the first thing Rider fans do when they get to a Grey Cup?
Priorities.
Find a liquor store.
Yep.
So we went to the LCBO, got some drinks, and we're about to walk back to our Airbnb that we were staying at. And all of a sudden, all we hear from behind us is, Sasky sucks! You guys suck! Saskatchewan sucks! Thought
crazy,
nothing of it.
Crazy,
we're just like,
yelling person.
Okay, just somebody yelling at the Rider fans, like, happens in every city, whatever. And she called you out by name, Steve, and that's when we realized, oh, this person might know us. So we actually looked around, and there's Andrea getting all giddy, jumping up and down. Oh my God, it's you guys! And she almost ran into traffic to come see us, but Yeah, that was good to see her there. And then obviously that the CFL welcome party, we'll call it, I guess, the Grey Cup kickoff on Wednesday night. Thursday, Spirit of Edmonton. That place was absolutely packed, and got to meet a lot more great people there. Spirit of Edmonton is one of the best parties of Grey Cup, just because it's normally it's free. This year, because I went to a smaller venue just inside of a bar, they did a $10 cover, but whatever, that's not a big deal.
I was a little disappointed with the $10 cover, but then we got in and there was dueling pianos. Anywhere that has dueling pianos is A-okay in my books.
It's worth the $10 cover.
Worth the $10 cover.
Everybody on the dance floor and just mingling around, having fun. The Grey Cup Fun Police were there that night, and a lot of the media were out there as well. It was just a great kickoff.
And the Dream Team was there.
The Dream Team was there from Calgary. And mm-hmm. Before we go even further, just want to send our congratulations to the Dream Team. They're adding another one to the officially to the family as, was it on Friday morning? Yeah. I think it was Friday morning.
On a day.
On a day.
They all blur together.
Friends of ours, Vince, who lives in Ottawa, is a Red Blacks fan, proposed to his girlfriend, Deb, who lives in Calgary, part of the Dream Team. And they got engaged, and they're going to be, Vince is going to be moving to Calgary pretty soon. So good for them. Nice CFL loving going there, and just goes to show that. And they met at a Red Blacks game, at a regular season game last year. So kudos to them. Congratulations, you guys. And just more CFL, just goes to show that doesn't matter where you're from, we're all here for the same thing, and you meet some great people in the CFL. The team parties were pretty good. The setup wasn't as good as necessarily hoped for, but what Ottawa knocked out of the park was the transportation to get mm-hmm. to and from all these parties. So they originally wanted to have all the parties in one area. The teams ended up moving them and splitting them up because of costs. So some of them were up in downtown, and some of them were down in Lansdowne Park. And conveniently, we were kind of in the middle of that, so it was the same distance roughly each way to get to there. But free transit for everybody. They had shuttles going from Lansdowne straight to the downtown area. So if you wanted to hit up the parties at the on the other side of the block, I guess, free transit made it perfect. Nobody had to worry about drinking and driving.
And bonus, you got to ride a double-decker bus. Who doesn't like to do that?
So
yeah,
Ottawa, you guys.
The best part was efficient transit too.
Yes,
efficient. You could get where you needed to go.
Other than the one night where we spent 15 minutes just sitting there with the bus stalling for a couple times, either stalling or turning off, or when we left.
We'll call that user error with the bus driver.
Yeah, that one was fine.
Yeah, I think user error makes sense. But the actual setup of the travel back and forth and the time, I don't think we spent more than 5 minutes waiting for a bus.
No, not at all.
It was the first one, and that was because we just missed it.
Yep.
It was well put together.
The Our Nation party, the Ottawa party, that was the hip place. That was the good place to be. That was, honestly, and we went there, and they had games there. They had a big giant Connect Four. They had Mega Jenga, ring toss, and beanbag toss.
Where you won a hat.
I won a hat.
That I took over and redecorated.
Successfully.
Made it much better.
Well, it was a Budweiser hat, and you made it say hashtag ABC.
Yeah.
Again, fitting with the theme of the entire week of Grey Cup. And I can't say enough about the city of Ottawa itself. What a beautiful place. That was all of our first trip to Ottawa, really.
Yeah, I haven't been there in 20 years, so pretty much my first adult trip there, too.
Yeah. And went by the Parliament Building and the Canada 150 little memorial that they have out there beside that. Awesome views, just beautiful buildings. The War Memorial as well. It's a very humbling place. Really makes time stand still. And like someone said, it's one of those places. It's in the heart of downtown that just kind of, there's a hustle and bustle of a big city downtown.
It was heavy there.
But it's things slowed down there. And it was just, you were taken away from I want to say reality, I guess, of the hustle and bustle of a downtown. And it was a real humbling experience. And just really, really hit home. It's just one of those things where it's just, everybody gets quiet and
I may have cried.
Yeah, it was, I don't know what else I'll say. It was just, it was a real humbling experience, and I'm glad that we were able to stop there as well. And what can I say, Ottawa, Uber, oh my God, Saskatchewan, what are you, get on it, okay? Like, I don't know what the big deal is. get Uber. It's fantastic.
Yeah. This is Saskatchewan, so we should see Uber in about 10 years, but
by then Uber won't be a thing anymore.
What did we end up spending for the entire week? It was
$100.
Yeah, $100 for 5 days worth of transportation when we didn't go back and forth with the transit, and that was
at least a couple rides.
And that's including trips to the airport as well, too. Yeah, those were the big ones.
40% of our cost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So absolutely phenomenal service in Ottawa, and got the good food recommendations from a couple of drivers there.
Was it Eli?
Yeah,
Eli is my hero.
Baracho. I hope I don't butcher the name, but oh man, that place.
Who cares what the name is?
Hole in the wall with 5 tables down in the basement. Oh my God, those burritos
Best
were amazing.
Best burrito ever.
So kudos to Eli as well. And what can I say? Honestly, Ottawa, it's a fantastic city. We obviously didn't get to do everything we wanted because we had a whole bunch of events to go to and Grey Cupping around
partying.
To do and all the team parties and then the game itself. So if we could have had another couple of days, I still don't think we would have got everything, but we would have put a good dent in it anyway. Ottawa, if you ever get a chance, go out there for a Rider game in the regular season. Go out there and do it. That's one hell of a city.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I liked most, and I've seen this in a bunch of comments from people that are regulars at Grey Cup. Obviously, this is my first in a while, so I'm the farthest thing from it. But the crowd was a lot younger in Ottawa compared to what they're apparently used to. Like the Our Nation party, they apparently have attracted the right kind of crowd to grow a future, which, I mean, obviously Ottawa with their history needs that to build, you know, a long-term plan, but it just seemed like it was a younger crowd than what I'm used to seeing, even at the ones I've been to. I don't know if you guys got the same, but
that just seems to be the Ottawa vibe with football, is they are mm-hmm. a young crowd, and that's great for the league, because that just, I mean, you got these fans hooked in when they're in their early 20s, and they're going to be there for 60, 70 years, and I mean, that's just amazing for the league. Yeah, it was a great atmosphere around, and to the game itself, more great atmosphere. I found that a lot of the locals, they were cheering for Calgary, not for Toronto. Obviously, that makes sense. You know, why would you want one of your rival teams, Toronto, to win the Grey Cup? And that's going to bring us to the game itself. 27-24 for Toronto over Calgary. Devere Pote, yeah, exactly. We were all happy. And especially the way that it happened, too. Calgary up 8 going into the fourth and knocking on you know, the championship door with 4 minutes left, and they score even a field goal there. The game gets, it's a two-score game, and if they score a touchdown, it's a two-touchdown lead, and the game is almost over. And then there was the fumble by Kamar Jordan, returned 109 yards for a touchdown for Toronto, and...
Yeah. I'm still looking for the bus tracks on Kamar Jordan's back from his teammate.
Marco A. McDaniel.
Oh, he tweeted and said that y'all are too sensitive. Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I get it. He's trying to cover his tracks a little bit, but, you know, perhaps you should cover the ones on his teammate's back first before. that was one of the stupidest things I've seen a teammate say. And
say that it was stupid football that cost us. I get what he's saying. It was stupid football that cost you.
But he pointed out a specific
play. But you don't, yeah, you don't ever call that out. And this is a guy who, on that fumble recovery, didn't bust his ass and hustle down the field. If he did, he makes a tackle on
the 10-15
yard line. Maybe Calgary holds him to a field goal. It's a completely different game.
So yeah, it was stupid football that cost him the game. Stupid, lazy football.
And this is also a guy that dropped the first pass of the game and you know, slipped on another pass where nobody was near him. So you caught it only for 2 yards. And I mean, maybe he gets more on those. Calgary scores on those drives instead. I mean, football doesn't ever come down to one play. And, I mean, go back to 2009. Everyone in Saskatchewan will say we didn't lose because of that one play in the Grey Cup. There was a multitude of plays leading up to that. What if they stopped AC on third down? What if they did, you know, whatever? Football is never, ever won or lost on one play. Maybe two, because Toronto's 109-yard touchdown, and also their 100-yard touchdown, which Steve didn't actually get to see because he was down getting chilly. But Devere Posey getting that 100-yard play, longest touchdown on offense in Grey Cup history, longest offensive play,
and then the longest defensive touchdown.
Yep, it was big plays, and all about scoring touchdowns. And Toronto did that better than Calgary.
What I love is from everything I saw, and Calgary dominated this game and came out on what I would say is the right end of it. But they controlled a large chunk of the game. You take away 200-plus yard plays, this game's never close. But that touchdown pass, obviously, like you said, I stepped away for 2 minutes and I missed two touchdowns somehow. But that's the Canadian football game for you, right? You take away that, but that's kind of how Toronto had to operate. This is the type of game it was. It was an exciting game full of big moments back and forth,
and sloppy moments too. I love just being sloppy football. being in that snow, everybody loses their footing and the ball is harder to catch. But it made for more exciting games, and we saw that in the '96 Grey Cup with Toronto and Edmonton. That was one of the better Grey Cups, and that was a snowstorm just like this one here. And there are a lot of big plays in the snow, and that's what this game had. And I mean, it came down to a final interception by Bo Levi Mitchell, and that was the next thing on my list that I want to talk about here. Everybody's given Bo Levi Mitchell flack because he threw that interception. While I agree, the coaches put them in a bad position to throw that pass. So down three with 20 seconds left, 2nd and 5, Bo Levi Mitchell throws a pass to the end zone, intercepted in double coverage by the safety. My issue with people picking on Bo Levi Mitchell for that is that they're saying that he made the play, that it was execution, and they're right, but that was what the coaches told him to do. That was the first read of the play, and he threw it there. He didn't choose to throw an interception. He made a bad throw. I love the call of going for it. I love the balls of the Calgary Stampeders going for the win. You still had one more play after that if it goes incomplete to kick the field goal, send it to overtime. So I like playing for the win because you had time. And if it were the Riders in the exact same situation, I'd be mad if they didn't at least try for a touchdown there. The problem was the ball was thrown too short. It should have been thrown to the back of the end zone where only he could have caught it. That was the mistake that was made.
See, and you, I'm going to disagree with you. This is not on coaching at all. You got a veteran quarterback like Bo Levi Mitchell. His only job at that point is to make sure he throws the ball, like you said, where only his guy can get it. If the throw isn't there, he's got to know to throw it away. To throw it into double coverage, this is 100% on Bo Levi Mitchell. That play, not the game, that play. That is a bad decision from a veteran quarterback who should know better. At 26, he's not a rookie quarterback playing in his first Grey Cup. This is a guy who's been there before, who knows the ins and outs of the game. He has to make the right call there. And I feel like he would be the first one to tell you that it was, unlike Marquay McDaniel, he would take the blame himself. He would say,
and
he'd
did.
Be the one saying I, not he or they or him. I mean, he knew he made the mistake, and you could see it on his face if you watch replays, 100% the moment he let go.
Yeah, the ball itself, the throw itself, I put all on him. But the fact that the coaches called that, they got to take some brunt of that as well, too. I mean, it's easy to say in hindsight, because obviously ball gets intercepted, why didn't you just kick the field goal?
Well, of course.
Well, if you just kill the clock and kick the field goal, why didn't you guys go for it? And that's the great thing about fans, is their fan is short for fanatic. And they're going to second-guess absolutely everything. And it's easy to say in hindsight, and they just got a 50-yard bomb on that drive, too, to put him into scoring range. Why not take another shot?
Oh, 100. I said after the game that going for it, I didn't like it. But after, time to actually digest the call and really look at it, it was the right call to go for it, especially the fact that they moved down the field so quick and got into that spot. You take momentum by the balls and you go for it. I mean, not many people argue that. But it's just that throw into double coverage. That's the
decision on the throw was bad.
Yeah, the play call was fine. Going for it was fine. It was the guy behind center seeing double or should have seen double coverage, and he wanted the hero pass.
I think after what happened to them last year, that's why they didn't want to go to overtime for that reason, and that's on Coach Dickinson. He didn't want to go to overtime, so Coach Dickinson should have. I mean, if they wanted to go to overtime, he'd say, okay, hand it off to Messam, get it to the middle of the field, kick a field goal. Coach Dickinson wanted to win that game before overtime.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree that they wanted the win. But when you've got the play called, yes, the first read may have been to throw it to, I think it was Markin Mitchell.
Was it Mitchell?
I can't remember. I was too busy celebrating. But whoever it was that the pass was thrown to, quarterback should have seen Matt Black there.
Oh, he for
should
sure.
Have seen, and if the first read isn't there, it shouldn't be an instant let go of the ball. Obviously, at full speed. You know, none of us have played the game at that speed. Who knows how difficult that is to do? But I have trouble pinning any of it on coaching staff, because you can't, on one hand, say, good job going for the win, and on the other go, but it was a bad call.
See, and what I find, and see, my issue is that people are blaming 100% on Bo Levi Mitchell. No, it's 50-50. The coaching staff and him.
Is that just because you're, you know, horny for the rat?
Yeah, something like that anyway. But I just think that it's stupid that everybody's ganging up on him when it's not his call to make that play call in the first place.
But it was his call to make that throw.
But it was his call to make that throw, sure. But you're going to trust your coaching staff to put them in the right position, and that's what you guys do all week leading up to that game is film study and everything. And yeah, it should have been audibled or gone to a second or third read. But when you do have a one-on-one on the outside, yeah, you take that throw. And it should have been further, because if he throws it towards the back of the end zone, Matt Black doesn't get there.
And we're probably talking about a whole different ball game.
Yeah, it could have gone to overtime. It could have been incomplete. That should have been the worst case scenario for the Stamps, is throw it deep in the back of the end zone where only your receiver can get it. If he doesn't get it, it's incomplete. You kick the field goal on third down, you go to overtime, you take your chances there.
And that's why people are pinning it on Bo Levi, is because he didn't make that throw. He made...
Oh, yeah, and that's why I'm saying half of that is on him. So the throw itself, I'm not saying isn't on him. It's totally on him. But I think they're getting mad at him for the wrong reason, is what I'm getting at. They're blaming him like he actually picked the play call and everything. No, he didn't. I can promise you he didn't make the play call.
There's no Anthony Calvillo back there calling his own plays in the huddle.
No, it takes a lot to earn in the CFL to call your own plays. And there's only a handful of players that can actually get away with doing that.
Probably
and
the guy on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be able to call his own.
And Ricky Ray, is this going to be it for him? His fourth Grey Cup win as a starter? Now, you know, the all-time leader in Grey Cup rings as a quarterback?
It depends entirely on what day you ask him. Because you talked to him yesterday at the rally, and people were chanting, one more year, one more. And he goes, why not two? Yet today in the locker room, he's apparently seriously considering retirement. You ask me, go out on top.
He retires, for sure.
And he should. Not because he doesn't have it anymore. I mean, it's really hard to sit there as a guy and tell a guy who's staring a $500,000 paycheck in the face to
walk away.
To walk away when he still has it. But very few professionals of his caliber get that opportunity, like a Peyton Manning, like a Henry Burris last year, mm-hmm. to go out on top. Instead, they end up like a Brett Favre or a, you know, Anthony Calvillo. And I'd rather see a guy of his caliber and his career go out with that ring, or fourth ring, with absolutely nothing left to prove. So he comes back next year and they go 3-15 and he looks like garbage, and we have a whole different discussion on his on the end of his career.
Mm-hmm. Lasting images in sports. It's that's how people remember you, is how you go out.
Yeah. As a Packers fan, I'd much prefer a completely different lasting image of Brett Favre. But
and one more question I have about the Grey Cup before we move on here. I saw this written in the Calgary Sun, one of the articles done. They said Calgary lost the game. Toronto didn't win it. Did Toronto win the game, or did Calgary lose it?
Yes.
Yes.
Both of those things happened.
But do you give credit to Toronto for, you know, staging that comeback and getting the big plays when it mattered? Or do you just fault Calgary for blowing it? Because they're two different things.
If Calgary doesn't more or less piss that game away at the end, Toronto never has a chance at winning. If they go for the field goal instead of fumbling it, instead of that Kamar Jordan fumble, we're probably talking about a Stampeder Grey Cup. So yes, Calgary lost it, but that last drive by Ricky Ray was what won them the game. Everything else before it aside, they don't win the game without that. They don't win the game without DeVar Posey making a great catch, and I love that image of him diving into the end zone. But this is one of those games where I don't think you can really pin it one side or the other. It's both happened. Calgary pissed it away, but Toronto had to grab it.
See, and I never buy into that we lost the game, because that just shows disrespect for the other team that went out there and beat you. So you're disrespecting the guys that beat you. That doesn't make sense. You should be respecting the fact that, you know what, they played better than us. And say the stupid cliches. I hate cliches, but say it in the media, right? You know what? They beat us. At the end of the game, they had 3 more points than us. That's how the game went. Just, there it is. Leave it at that. But to say that we pissed it away, we did this, they didn't do anything, No, they still did it. They forced fumbles. They got interceptions. They still made plays happen. When it came down to it, when the plays mattered, Toronto made them, not Calgary. And it's Toronto got went out there and won the game. They made the plays to win the game.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's really hard to argue with it. I see too many mistakes by a veteran team to go 100% Toronto won it. But they did. You know, Calgary, regardless of what Calgary does, if Toronto doesn't make the play, Calgary still wins. So
I mean, you can say that about any play in the game. Not just any of the big ones, though, too, right?
But when you're talking about a large number of colossal mistakes like the Kamar Jordan fumble, like the bad pass, these are big plays in the game that ultimately led to Toronto's victory. But that interception doesn't happen if Matt Black doesn't make a great break on the pass. You know, that fumble recovery doesn't happen if, I don't remember who made the tackle.
Cleon Lang goes out and punches the ball out.
Right? Like, so there's a lot to be said about Toronto winning that game. I just think Calgary made too many mental mistakes to earn a victory themselves. Hate to pick a side. I'm kind of right in the middle.
I just don't buy the we lost the game. No, the other team won. Got to give them credit for making plays, and that's exactly what Toronto did.
Well, you're right. Behind every Calgary mistake was a great play by Toronto. You're right.
And it brings up an interesting off-season discussion. Where does Calgary go from here? That's two straight years as heavy favorites in the championship game. Last year being, you know, what were they, 15-2-1, going up against a sub-500 team. This year, 13-4-1, 13-1-1 in games that actually mattered to them, losing to a 500 team. There's going to be changes in Calgary because they're getting older there. Marco-Ray McDaniel's going to be 34. Jerome Messam's 32. Like, they got to make some serious decisions about that team going forward. Because they're clearly doing something wrong with that core. I mean, not during the regular season. They're going out there and outclassing everybody throughout the regular season. But when it comes down to it in the Grey Cup game, the leadership doesn't do enough.
This is a team that shows game in and game out, they should be the top of the CFL. But when it comes right down to the games that matter, I mean, they've lost 8 games in the last 40. 2 of them have been Grey Cup games. So when it comes down to it, they're not getting it done. They have to make a change somewhere because something isn't right in that locker room. And we saw, and again, I hate going back to the comment by McDaniel, but that locker room isn't a team. It doesn't feel like...
It's a bunch of individuals.
Like, you look at the Riders, and that's a group of guys that seemingly love each other. Like, they are playing together, which is why a team that went 5-13 turned it around and were a breath away from the Grey Cup game. They were a unit playing potentially above their... You know, punching above their weight class. And then you flip it around and you're looking at a team like Calgary who should be knocking everybody out, and they can't when it matters. But what do they change?
Well, it won't be the quarterback.
Not yet.
Probably won't be the running back. They seem to get receivers all the time, no matter what. They lose them to the NFL, they lose them to other teams, and they just keep pulling them out of the ground and just finding guys. So I don't know what it is. Their defense is very, very, very solid. So I can't see them doing too much different on defense. But it'll be interesting in terms of leadership what they do with that team. And if there's any, I don't know if it's going to come down to coaching changes. I don't know if it's going to be player personnel changes. But it'll be, and that'll be something to talk about in the offseason anyway, what they do and where players go and who gets cut or traded or whatever. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
The only thing that we can pretty much put down as an almost absolute is come the early November next year, we're going to be looking at Calgary is potentially or most likely a
Grey Cup favorite
again. And
mm-hmm.
You know, they're a block in the back away from being 0-3 in Grey Cups in the Bull Levi Mitchell era. That's not a great stat.
A lot of people are calling them the Calgary Bills now for that reason. And then, I mean, you take the 2012 Grey Cup. They lost that one too to Toronto. So 2012, ticky-tacky call in 2014. 2016 and 2017, they're 0-4 in those Grey Cups, just about. That's, I mean, regular season champions are great, but it doesn't mean anything in the playoffs.
That's the Washington Capitals.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see what happens, but that's for another topic for another day. But that was the last game of the year, last game of the CFL season, and like I said last week, it's the second worst day of the calendar year. The worst one is the Monday after the Super Bowl, because then it's the actual longest time before any football whatsoever. But this is the longest time until more CFL football, so I've already seen it a few times. I've used it once myself. #IsItJuneYet. I don't think we wanted the season to end, especially with the way that the Riders flipped it around. The last couple of years, we were just like, yeah, put us out of our misery. Let's just get to next year already. Now it's like, damn, we were 23 seconds away from the Grey Cup.
And what sucks is knowing going into this offseason, unlike the last few years, we're going to be going into a pretty quiet offseason in Saskatchewan.
Well, let's hope so.
The way that I'm obviously knock on wood, but the way they're performing right now, we aren't going to be making wholesale changes. There isn't going to be breaking news day after day, week after week. We're going to be bored until free agency. Again, knock on wood.
In a perfect world, yeah.
Sucks.
I mean, there'll be some things, but...
Obviously, this is much better than going into last offseason going, where the hell do we go from here? But yeah. It's a June yet, you're right. I don't want to be that guy, but...
Yep. Longest 6 months before training camp. Anyway, I guess that'll be the last bit. We talk about games itself for, 6 months. Moving on here, we have this week's Hottie Bowl. I like you a lot, lot. All we want is hot, hot. Boys, boys, boys. You like boys and cars. Boys, boys, boys. All right, Amy, who do we have on the Hottie Bowl this week?
Nobody.
Nobody?
Nope.
No boys on the Hottie Bowl?
No, just me. For my sick dance moves on Friday night.
Just you on the Hottie Bowl. I mean, you make my Hottie Bowl.
Oh. Heart emoji.
That was lame, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Sorry.
Crickets, no.
Crickets.
No Hottie Bowl today. I'm going to do the rest of them on Twitter. On the Twitter box.
So make sure to follow you on Twitter then.
Mm-hmm.
At CFL Hottie Bowl. I was waiting for you to...
Oh.
Yeah, follow me at CFL Hottie Bowl.
Do the thing.
Great thing. At self-marketing.
Yeah. So follow Amy at CFL Hottie Bowl on Twitter.
Yeah,
and she'll
do that
throughout the off-season and finish off this year's Hottie Bowl, I guess.
Yep.
Maybe figure out what we got in store for next year.
I don't know.
This is hard work. So far away.
Is it June
yet?
Oh, my
God. It's hard work. Maybe you guys should do the Hottie Bowl next year, and I'll talk about football.
Every time we've done it, you've gotten mad at us.
Because you pick stupid people.
We are not stupid. Okay, well, let me take that back here for a second. Picking us wasn't stupid.
And those jorts. I mean, come on.
What you guys can't tell because you're listening is I'm rolling my eyes real hard. Real hard right now.
Yeah, we don't even believe the things that we say.
Nope.
That's all I've got.
Okay. Well, let's keep it going here, I guess. One final segment to get to.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This week's rant, and I'll take it here. I'm going to make it nice and quick. And this has to do with who you cheer for or who you don't cheer for in the Grey Cup. We sat a couple rows behind a Rider fan that was clearly cheering for the Stamps. Go Stamps, go. He was yelling that all bloody game long. You know what? I understand the notion of cheer for the West, keep the cup out West, where we care about football more than they do out East. Okay, I get that. Not necessarily that I agree with that, but okay, sure. But why would you ever want your biggest rival, the Calgary Stampeders, to win?
I wouldn't. That's why I was shaking my head at him the entire time.
If we can't win, why should our biggest division rival win? All they're going to do is rub it in our faces. Do you think any of them cheered for us in 2009? No, they're still making fun of 2009. Why? Because they don't like us. And you know what? I don't like them. I don't want Calgary to win the Grey Cup, ever. If they go 0-18 every single season for the rest of time, great. That's perfect. I don't ever want my teams that I go up, like our division rivals, to ever win a game, ever. Obviously, they're going to. I mean, they could tie, which would be even better. But they're going to win games. And I said this at Grey Cup Week. I equate it to hockey. I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Would I ever cheer for the Philadelphia Flyers or Washington Capitals to ever win the Stanley Cup? Hell no, of course not. I'm going to cheer for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm going to cheer for, a team in the other conference.
Basically anybody but your own division.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it... came down to BC versus Calgary in the Grey Cup because of a crossover or something, I would cheer harder against Calgary than I would BC. I don't want BC to win, but
in that instance,
I ultra don't want Calgary to win.
In that instance, you're cheering for Calgary to lose.
Yes.
Never for BC to win.
No.
Never for Edmonton to win. Always for Calgary to lose. I don't care who they're playing. Always Calgary lose.
And you look at the crowd in Ottawa, and they were 100%, for the most part,
Cheering for Calgary.
Because they get it. They don't want Toronto to win. Why would they want their rival to win? And that's, I have nothing but respect for that. I disagree with it because I'm out west and they're out east. But Rider fans, we need to unite and ultimately cheer against Calgary and cheer against Edmonton, cheer against Winnipeg, cheer against BC. Cheer for the underdog, the sub-500 teams. Cheer for them. Who cares?
If the Riders can't win the Grey Cup, the only thing next on that list of awesome things is Calgary losing it.
Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
It was funny this past weekend when we were in Ottawa, everybody asking, oh, who are you cheering for? And always my answer was, against Calgary.
Yep. No, we weren't rooting for Toronto to win. No. I'll never cheer for anybody but Saskatchewan.
I don't know. Those last like 6 minutes, I was cheering pretty hard for Toronto to win.
But were you cheering because you wanted Calgary to lose?
Well, that's why, but yeah. I was cheering for Toronto at that point.
By default, you're doing it for the right reasons. You're not cheering because you like Toronto. You're cheering because you hate Calgary.
And you watch them drop passes, and you can hear me laughing very, very loudly when something bad happened to Calgary.
It was great.
So I just don't see why any Rider fan would ever want Calgary to win. I don't get it. The only way you should ever want a team like that to win is if it directly benefits your team. And since your team's not in it, you shouldn't cheer for them. If you need Calgary to beat BC in week 20 of the season so you get a home playoff game, okay, sure, I can get on board with that. But at the same time, I just want BC to lose. I don't want Calgary to win.
I was going to say, at that point, are you cheering for Calgary or are you cheering against BC?
For the benefit of my team, I would be cheering against BC.
This is where I bring up a picture of you in a Stampeders jersey.
That never happened, okay?
A figment of your imagination.
Yeah, it's not like there's like pictures on, yeah, proof. Photographic evidence.
Photoshop.
Nobody's made a t-shirt of it.
Am I surprised by that?
T-shirt was great.
T-shirts, yeah. Well, we can't really say what was said on that t-shirt, but nice.
I almost wore it today.
So anybody that follows us on Twitter, they would have saw the shirt. If you wanted to see kind of what we were doing in Ottawa as well, hashtag Piffles Does Grey Cup. Check that out. We posted a bunch of pictures and everything. And just, I know not everybody can make it out there. And I saw a lot of fans on Twitter, both from Saskatchewan and from, you know, other CFL cities as well. Oh, wish I could make it. Sorry, I can't be there. I'm living through, you know, your guys' pictures and posts and everything because it just looks like a blast. So hopefully you guys got a little enjoyment out of Grey Cup and just saw how much fun that everybody was having.
Next time if you come, maybe I'll share my giant bag of popcorn with you.
That was a big bag of popcorn.
The best bag of popcorn.
Thank you, Riderville.
Ever.
So ultimately, we all had a great time at Grey Cup, and it just the game was icing on the cake to a great week. And it was a lot of fun. It was a good way to sadly end the CFL season.
I feel like that was the icing on the cake of what overall was a pretty damn good year.
The games were competitive all year long, and there weren't too many blowouts. There was the odd ones here or there, but just about every game.
Unless you're a Montreal fan.
Yeah. But, I mean, just about every game this year came down to the last couple minutes and who had the ball and who didn't. And ultimately, I mean, football's entertainment. Yes, we take it a lot more seriously than maybe we should, but it is entertainment. And I want to be entertained. And this year was very, very entertaining. We want the best games possible, and I think we got that this year, save for Montreal and that 60-1 Hamilton loss to Calgary early in the year. But it was a very, very exciting 2017 season. And as Rider fans, I mean, this season was even better because we finally, you know, broke above 500 again, and we're 10-8 and showed promise, and we're 23 seconds away and 1 yard away from a Grey Cup berth. So lots to look forward to in 2018. But as we look forward to 2018, we do say goodbye to 2017, and that's where we go from here. This will be our last show of 2017. We'll do some more in 2018, closer to the season. We're not going to do as much as we did last year. Going to focus a little bit more on piffelspodcast.com, so make sure you check that out. We'll talk about roster breakdowns, our thoughts on the Riders and other CFL teams, and we'll look ahead to free agency, the draft, all that kind of good stuff. And so make sure you check out piffelspodcast.com. There'll be lots of stuff on there. But that's going to do it for a 2017 season. A lot better than the 2016 season for us here in Saskatchewan. So thank you for spending your time and enjoying it with us. We really do appreciate it. We want to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Great Kwanzaa, you know, absolutely anything that you celebrate or don't celebrate in the holiday season.
Happy December.
Make sure it's great. Absolutely. Have a great off season.
Yep. Cosign.
So whatever you do, make sure it's great. And one final thing before we go, next year, we want some help from the fans here and from our listeners. First off, what would you like to hear on the show? What would you not like to hear on the show? Let us know. We're open to any and all feedback. Send it into us at PifflesPod on Twitter. Send it to, you know, each of us individually. Put it on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Let us know. We want to, you know, bring you guys a better show, and we want to be better ourselves. And one thing we're going to do to do that as well is we're going to have a contest next year. I'm going to tease a little bit right now. We can't get into too many details. Start thinking about what makes you a great Rider fan. Why are you a great Rider fan? What keeps you being a great Rider fan? So keep that in mind. We'll announce that a little bit later in early 2018. We'll figure something out, getting closer to the season. And throughout the season, we're gonna focus a little bit on the fans and find out what makes you guys Rider Nation, Rider Nation. Everybody from the outside says, you know, you guys are, you know, passionate about the game. You guys have nothing else in Saskatchewan, so this is what you guys grip onto. We want to find out why we grip onto the Riders.
We want to know what makes Rider Nation tick.
Right? So that's going to be, I'm looking forward to that. I think, you know, this year, talking to alumni and the players and everything, that was a lot of fun, and I look forward to that every week. I'm looking forward to this. I really want to find out more about Rider Nation itself.
Yeah, we spent a couple of years focusing on the team. It's going to be interesting to, you know, kind of branch away. We know what makes us.
Yep.
But we are a small chunk of what is a gigantic group of fans, and I want to learn about every one of them.
Yep. So keep that in mind. What makes you a great Rider fan? Why are you a Rider fan? How did it all start? All that kind of stuff. So keep that in mind. We're going to, you know, send that out to you in 2018, and we'll come back next season and talk about that and do a whole bunch of good, fun stuff with that. So until next year, thank you for spending your time with us here on the Piffles Podcast. Other than thank you, I words can't describe how awesome this is.
I still love that people take time out of their day to listen to what we have to say about the team we all love. It's
well, and then coming out and playing football with us and you know, raising money for Hope's home, raising $1,500. Absolutely amazing.
It's been a really good year.
So lots to build on and look forward to for next year as well, and make it bigger and better. And we want you guys to be a part of that. So continue listening, continue reading what we have to say. If you hate what we say, tell us why we're wrong. I love hearing when we, I don't want to say argue, but when we heavily disagree on things, myself versus, you know, listeners, or Steve versus listeners, or whatever, we love that.
It's the only way we're going to learn, if you guys tell us if we make a mistake or you don't like something we say.
Yeah, we're fans like the rest of you. We're no better than anybody else. So we want to hear from you guys. What do you guys like? What do you don't like? All that kind of stuff. And let's make the Piffles Podcast grow and be even better.
Sounds like a plan to me.
And we can't do that without you. So make sure you guys help us out with that. Until then, check out piffespodcast.com. Like I said, we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff on there. Follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. We'll still talk about the football in the off season. So anytime you feel like chatting CFL, hit us up at PifflesPod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
And follow me at Safamod.
And I am at CFL Hollywood.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. And until 2018, have a great rest of the 2017 calendar year. And we'll talk to you next year.
We're a drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.